All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
What is your favorite thing in the world?
Comics.
Yes.
Comics!
No, wait, tell them about comics.
Welcome to Just Another Fanboy, the important podcast in all of human history. I'm Steven.
I'm the Lost MC, yeah!
That must be Craig, because it sure didn't sound like Michael.
Michael's not here.
Michael's not here. We don't know where Michael is. He just didn't show up on the Skype call tonight.
And he was supposed to bring cookies.
Craig's not worried. I'm a little worried. That's just the way I am.
I'm not worried at all. Michael's a man.
That's just the way I am. I'm a worry wart.
I think he's out cruising for chicks.
I'm a wart of worry.
On his Vespa motor scooter.
He doesn't really have a Vespa, does he?
And his helmet with his rainbow tinted visor.
Nice.
I'm hoping that if I undermine him enough that he will show up to the Fantastic Nine.
He'll sense the abuse.
Exactly. Exactly.
His Michael sense will start tingling.
Yes.
I must be on Skype.
He'll feel the need to say something snarky.
Yeah.
I think he's just sitting at home cursing his wireless router.
I think he is too. So this is episode number 117 of Just Another Fanboy. How you doing, Craig?
I am doing fine, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I didn't mention this last week, but last Monday, the day we recorded episode 116, I started a diet.
You know what a diet is?
It's eating.
No, it's dying with the tea.
Ew. Actually, it's not that bad. I had my first official weigh-in today.
And?
Lost 6 pounds.
Nice. Yeah.
And that was with no exercise at all.
So how hungry were you with the point system?
Not too hungry. I'm more of a I eat when I'm bored.
I hear that.
I eat when I'm sad. And I'm sad because I eat.
And you're sad because there's no Michael?
That's right. So here's a little, let's put a little mood music in here.
The most...
So we don't know where Michael's at, but we're just going to keep trudging along. We're
going to
go ahead.
We are going to try and raise the highbrowness of the entertainment this evening.
That's what we're trying.
Welcome to Masterpiece Fanboy.
Masterpiece Fanboy. That's good.
That's right. Brought to you by PBS and Nova.
So cheerio.
Please give us money. We will send you a handbag.
Cheerio, old Pip. Tish and Tosh and all that. All right, that's enough of that.
Ah, crap. I want to keep going.
That brings me into the real music. It's time for everybody's favorite segment, the song to annoy Craig.
Uh-oh. Woo! No.
Here's a little song for everybody out there. People try to take my soul away.
Yeah! Oh my god.
Do you like this week's choice?
I don't know what that song is, but it sucks.
That's Kiss.
I know it's Kiss. I'd recognize Paul Stanley anywhere, but that's terrible. What the hell is
that's Crazy Crazy Nights. You should hear the chorus. It's mind-numbing. Matter of fact, they in an issue of Preacher, there was a scene where the – did you ever read Preacher?
Yes, I did.
You know, the bald German guy, Hair Star? He gets into a cab, and the cab driver is listening to Crazy Nights on the radio.
Sweet.
And the chorus is literally over and over and over. These are crazy, 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 crazy nights. Then they repeat that about four or five times.
Oh, God.
And Hairstar shoots the guy's radio.
And see, you don't like Alice Cooper, but you love Kiss.
I do.
Hey, guess who's in? Lost and Damned. Alice Cooper, not Kiss.
That's too bad.
Oh.
Here's a little song for everybody out there. That's the difference between Kiss and Alice Cooper. Kiss plays songs for everybody out there.
Really? Who was the song Beth for, Stephen?
That's for everybody out there.
It was only for Beth. It was only ever for Beth.
No.
Beth, I hear you calling. That's all you're going to get. That's all you're going to get.
My ears are slightly bleeding.
They should be. Because of the beauty and the majesty.
Slight bleed. So, another week, I didn't really read many books.
Damn it, dude.
Well, I've been really busy. It's, you know, I do pretty much all of my comic book reading during lunch at work.
That's true.
Work has been so freaking busy that I've been working during lunch, so I haven't been able to read.
Ooh. See, and I voraciously tear through my comics the way a wolf tears through a dead vegetarian beast of the forest. If I don't read everything on Wednesday night, it probably won't get read that week, or at least until the weekend.
See, and I always hated when I would get my books and get them all read the same day I got them, because it's like, well, now what am I going to do with the rest of the week?
Play Lost and Damned!
I've got a private message. Maybe it's Michael.
Oh,
it's loading.
Goody come drops.
It's loading up now. While we're waiting for it to load.
Crazy, crazy.
Here's a little song for everybody out there.
Here's a little song for everybody out there.
A song for everybody out there.
People try to take my soul away.
I want to get it to the chorus so you can hear the chorus.
But I don't hear the rap that they all say. I can't stop them. They try to tell us we don't belong. That's all right. We're millions strong. This is my music. It makes me proud. These are my
Here
people.
Goes. That gets more annoying.
Did they dance in formation like the Gutter Cats and the Jets during this song when they did it on stage? These are crazy, crazy, crazy.
No, it wasn't the Gutter Cats. It was the Jets and the Sharks.
I'm thinking of the Alice Cooper song. I have to keep myself warm with thoughts of good music. Who was your private message from?
I don't know. It's not loading. It's just sitting here spinning. It's acting like Navigator at work. That's a little inside joke for all of our work friends.
Ah, where is it? Is it on the soundboard or where is it at?
It's over at the comic forums.
Oh, okay.
So you read some books then? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I got lots of books this last week. See, I think Michael's private message says, "Dear Stephen, hate you, hate Kansas. Took the ruby slippers and going home."
That can be nice.
Yeah, dude, I got the last issue of Birds of Prey. I got the last issue for a while, Brave and the Bold. Justice League number 30, Outsiders number 15, which you were dogging on. The final issue of Robin, the origins and opens Omen's issue of Supergirl, Batman Superman 55, Thank God the Last Part of Tangent Superman's Reign, Trinity number 38, Dynamo 5 number 0, Invincible, no, I got that a long time ago, and Dark Avengers number 2.
It's a lot of books.
That is a lot of books. I read a lot of books. And did you hear that? I read a Marvel book. I read several Marvel books.
But you're a Marvel hater.
That's the rumor.
That's the rumor. That's what they've tied you into as a Marvel hater. So the IM I got was not from Michael.
Was it from somebody cool?
It's from the Nuge.
Oh, see? You got trapped.
He wants me to put a link to his blog on my blog, and I haven't done it yet. So I'll just call it out right here. NugentSmoothie.blogspot.com. I'm going to look that up right now.
That sounds disgusting.
Nugent.
A Nugent Smoothie.
Nugent Smoothie Podcast.
All I can think of is Ted Nugent dropping various cuts of freshly killed meat into a blender with milk. Ice cold milk. I love cream cheese, creamy, creamy cheese, cheese, cheesy, cheesy, cream on my bagel.
Dude, he put my, he put that Thor thing that my brother put together on his blog.
Sweet.
NugentSmoothie.blogspot.com, and he has a podcast. In my first Nugent Smoothie podcast, I talk about Coraline and pirated Oscar screeners. All right, so check it out. Nugent Smoothie.
He loves movies.
He is. He's quite the movie nut. Nuts about the movies.
Well,
so,
you know what?
What?
There's not much else to do on those crazy, 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 crazy nights.
This is true. Whoa! I just love the very beginning there. Ready? Here it goes again.
Freddie Mercury did that better.
That's almost as good as this.
He sounds in pain. Somebody pull that knife out of his back.
So let's open this up for voting for the board, which I guess you could. This used to be the post makeup days. Back in the glam rock days of Kiss, but now it's the in-between makeup days now. So which song starts better with Paul Stanley? Crazy, Crazy Nights? Whoa! Or or Heaven's on Fire? Whoa! And your choices again were Crazy, Crazy Nights? Or Heaven's on Fire. I look at you, and my blood boils hot. I feel my temperature rise. So, do you have any particular books you'd like to talk about today,
Certainly.
Craig? Should we play some Mozart while you're reviewing your book?
That would be awesome. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Reviews by Craig.
Can you turn that down a bit? Just a little. There we go. Thank you, and welcome to Reviews by Craig. Coming to you on the Justin the Fanboy podcast, my picks this week are brought to you, surprisingly, by the original Sam's Comics. Is Quality Comics, 1111 Massachusetts Street, Lawrence, Kansas, 66046. You can find them at www.qualitycomics.lefora. That's lefora.com.
Oh, bravo.
And you can join in the discussions and find out what's new in their store, including their $40 short box sale. So, what would I like to review this week? I believe that I shall review Outsiders number 15, in addition to... Yes, I believe I'll review the final issue of Robin, number 183.
Bravo, old bean.
Witnesses. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Cheerio, fish and chips. Give me some tea and all that rot. With Outsiders number 15, Peter J. Tomasi continues his run at being the best Batman writer of the recent memory, along with Lee Garbett and Trevor Scott, bring you the relaunch of The Outsiders. The title has changed with this issue. No longer is it Batman and The Outsiders. It is just The Outsiders. Could be Alfred and The Outsiders, as you shall soon see, with Alfred taking a more central leadership role with the team. The team now consists of Geo-Force, Black Lightning, Halo, Metamorpho, Katana, Creeper, and Owlman. Now, as a longtime fan of Vic Sage, a.k.a. The Question, I have to say that I greatly enjoy Owlman. Seeing as how Owlman is a semi-retired TV investigator and reporter with a bit of an attitude.
Sounds like someone we know.
Someone named Victor Sage?
Owlman sounds like such the frightful sort.
He does. He does. Oh, blimey, and here's a picture of Metamorpho hugging everybody, except for the Creeper, because the Creeper doesn't like being touched.
He sounds creepy.
Yes. He is a bit creepy with his green hair and yellow skin. overall, this issue was quite enjoyable, even when Katana and Geo-Force got down to making out, which was kind of weird. But Rex Mason pulling his best impersonation of Multiple Man in a car while talking to duplicates of himself that I did not know he could do, but it's, you know, it makes sense. They're all metamorphos, and he's just kind of going stretchy. So, you know, makes sense. The issue ends apparently with a bat rocket in the Bat Cave.
Ooh.
Yes, they're going to take off from the Bat Cave in a freaking bat rocket. Yes. And then, of course, there's your Origins and Omens backup feature, which has to tie every living and dead being in the entire DCU into Blackest Night, or as I like to call it, the real Final Crisis. The Outsiders relaunch with the Outsiders special, along with Outsiders number 15, has put this book firmly into my monthly pull, or however often DC is good enough to bring it out for my consumption. I'm going to go ahead and give this first issue about a 3.5 out of 5. It's a good start. It's not perfect. It's not great. Still introducing you to the new characters and concepts. So, enjoyable read. Enjoyable read.
Good show.
And then the final...
Good show. Top hole, as they say.
I believe I'll have a spot at the pub.
I'm going to go get a scone.
All right.
As we touch on every British... the word escapes me, so I'm just going to ignore it.
Convention of genre? Stereotypical... Haberdash?
Stereotype, that's the word I was looking for. Aye, I'm going
Blimey.
To be Scottish. I'm not going to be British, I'm going to be Scottish.
Ah! Then I'll read Robin, issue number 183, the final issue, which is also a last rights tie-in, so if you're collecting that, laddie buck, you got to pick up Robin number 183.
Can I interrupt there for a moment?
Now,
is that wee lad still running around in the tights?
He is, in fact, he is. But you see, now they're armored. They're not the same. They're not what they used to be. They're all red. And I think this is the last issue for him. Because, you know, Battle for the Cowl is starting next month.
Is he still wearing the little wee pixie boots?
No wee pixie boots. Oh, by the way, I have to say this before you do. I love you. I always have. I know, I stole that one from you.
I stole
sorry.
It. I had to
you
crush you like a
the
worm.
First movement of Ein Klein Nacht music.
If you what the hell is that?
I took that song off of a Mozart podcast, so that was the host.
Limey Brit. Okay. Robin number 183. It is the last rights tie-in. Kind of ties in a lot of the storylines that have been going on within Robin the past several months, almost a year, going back to the
Resurrection of Ra's al Ghul. If you've been following Robin at all, you know that Stephanie, the spoiler, has died. She's come back to life. You know that Tim Drake's father has died. He hasn't come back to life. So people keep dying on Robin. So it's getting rough being Robin. Especially what with the gang war that has recently erupted in Gotham City that Robin had to put down pretty much on his own because Nightwing was busy in New York City, of all places, dealing with Two-Face. Well, this issue features the return of Jason Todd again. Robin has apparently bailed him out of jail because in Bruce's last will and testament, there was something in there for Jason. What is it? They're not going to let you know. And the reason why they're not going to let you know is a little thing called Battle for the Cow, which is coming up here in March, which DC fervently hopes that you will buy. I like this issue for a lot of reasons. The art of Freddie Williams is always good, fits Robin very well, and I find Fabian to be really good on the Robin title. I know a lot of people prefer Chuck Dixon, but I feel Fabian does well. Chuck Dixon, he's with G.I. Joe, and either G.I. Joe or the Punisher is honestly where Chuck belongs if he's not working on Batman. Robin breaks up with his girlfriend. He shoots the crap with one of his best friends. He tries to call Stephanie Brown, but she doesn't answer. One of the finest things about this issue is the return of one of my favorite villains of the Batman universe, and someone who is very involved with the origin of the Tim Drake Robin, and that's Lady Shiva. She's always billed as the world's most deadly assassin, or the world's most deadly woman, or dangerous woman. And Robin has a fight with her. And it lasts about 4 seconds. And Robin wins. And I don't dare give you the secret of the fight other than to say Robin cheated and he's a sneaky little individual.
He's a cold-hearted snake.
I was going to quote that stupid Kiss song, but I can't remember the lines. That's not an invitation to play it.
Okay.
Robin watches, Nightwing watches the whole fight go down, all 4 seconds of it. And it ends with the teaser line that Steven has been waiting for ages to hear. But I won't tell anyone how much it excites me. Oh, excuse me. I should start from the entire line. Gotham City needs someone wearing the cowl. The obvious candidate will step up soon enough. Who could that be?
Ted Kord.
Vic Sage. Until then, the city has me. And after that, what comes next? I've been waiting for it. I guess I've lived for it all this time. I want it so bad. But I won't tell anyone how much it excites me. Soon, it'll be time to meet the new Robin.
Dun, dun, dun.
Red Robin number one, anyone? Anyone? Bueller? And then, of course, there is the origin, obligatory February issue, Origins and Omens backup story, which has a whole bunch of teases for a battle for the Cowl, and it has someone wearing the Batman suit that looks surprisingly and amazingly enough like, go ahead and fast forward for 5 seconds if you don't want to hear this, Dick Grayson. Liked Robin. Kind of sorry to see it go. I've been collecting it for a while. Have not been a longtime fan of the Robin book just because I prefer Batman better. It's a good solid read. Give it 2.5, 3 out of 5. I wouldn't run out and pick it up unless you're currently into the Batman craze, the Rest in Peace and Last Rites storyline, but not a disappointing read at all. And you?
And me?
And you!
You want to know what I've read?
What did you read? Woo!
Here's a little review for everybody out there.
You need more buttons on that soundboard, dude.
Oh, I do, but I just dig that crazy tune. That crazy, crazy night. Both the books that I read, actually I read three, two of them I'll talk about. One I'll just kind of, well, But G.I. Joe number one, since you mentioned Chuck Dixon, I'll talk about that. Written by Chuck Dixon, art by Robert Atkins.
Did you get the Adam Hughes cover?
Yes. I believe that's what this is.
Baroness?
No, I got the Dave Johnson cover.
He's good too.
Yeah.
I love you, Dave Johnson.
The Adam Hughes cover does look pretty nice.
Adam Hughes, you call me and you come over because we're going to hang.
This is a pretty good little issue.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, Geico helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with Geico.
A lot of nods to the cartoon. They mention a couple of the... It starts out in the pit where G.I. Joe is located. And there is a experimental weapons laboratory designated Sector Number 9, or it's better known as the Fobbit Hole.
The Fobbit Hole?
Fobbit is a non-combat personnel.
Are you sure? Because that sounds like a metrosexual hobbit to me.
That's what it says.
Okay.
But we got these guys in here testing what looks like a tank, and it shoots this weird beam of energy to a boombox at the other end of this tunnel. And when it hits the boombox is powered on and a song is playing. And one of the guys doing this is a dude named Brainstorm.
Is that song I Just Want to Party Every Day or Party Every Night by Eddie Murphy?
No, it's I don't even know if it's a real song. The lyrics that are kicking out of here is, I was drunk the day my mom got out of prison, and I went to pick her up in the rain in my pickup truck. She got runned over by a danged old train.
It sounds like a mix of Big and Rich and The Cure. Kind of gothic country there.
But this device that they're testing out... they refer to as the BET. Anybody remembers the G.I. Joe movie featuring the voice talents of Burgess Meredith and that guy whose name I can never remember, but he played Crockett on Miami Vice?
Dennis Quaid was in there. No, Randy John. Crap. I'm going to stop talking. Dennis Quaid's in the new movie, not the old one. You're talking about Don Johnson.
Yes, Don Johnson. Now, the BET in the movie was called the Broadcast Energy Transmitter. In the comic book, it's called the Broadcast Energy Teleporter. So they're changing it up on us. But apparently they got a team out investigating a lead that they have on some secret agency called Cobra. And... part of it I didn't quite understand because it seemed like they're getting ready to catch up to this guy and they're running through the streets of they're driving through the streets of Manila during monsoon season, and they're going through the back streets and there's all this laundry hanging up on clotheslines between the buildings. Somebody cuts one of the clotheslines, all these clothes fall across the Jeep and the Jeep crashes with the Joes in it, and it looks like it was Snake Eyes that did it. Why would Snake Eyes do that? That's the part I don't understand. And the Joes have found some weird box that they're trying to figure out what it is, and we learn it was placed there by Destro. And Destro, without his mask on, is in his castle with a couple of people, and they're using it to keep tabs on the Joes. And while they're doing this, some weird lady in a scuba suit swims across the lock into the castle, and it's the Baroness. She pulls a gun on Destro, and that's kind of where that one ends.
So is this a complete relaunch again?
Mm-hmm. From what I understand, yes.
So that whole big 12-issue Maxim event from DDP just completely gone then.
Yeah, and that was a good 12-issue storyline too.
That's too bad.
Okay. Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I find it so hard to follow the Transformers. Because every time they change publishers, everything the previous publishers did, gone.
Yeah.
Sorry, didn't happen.
Next book I want to talk about, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about this because I don't like to spoil this book, but it's The Walking Dead number 58. Really great issue. Rick and his son and some of the original cast members from the first few trades have hooked up with some new characters, one of which is a guy named Abraham. And Rick kind of convinces Abraham because they're close to I can't remember the name of the town, wherever Rick was living when the whole zombie thing started. But because they're making their way to Washington, D.C., and so they get close to this town, and Rick convinces Abraham to drive into this town with him because, you know, the police station was all locked up when he left, and they still had ammunition and guns and whatnot there. So they decide they're going to go there and see if they can get some supplies and stuff. But most of this issue is taken up with Abraham kind of telling Rick some of the bad things that he's done since the whole zombie thing started, you know, just some, you know, bad things that he has done to survive, the bad things that happened to his wife and kids, and what he did to the people who did the bad things to his wife and kids. And he tells this very sad story. And then Rick, you know, responds with, well, you know, I've done some pretty bad stuff too. And, you know, that's just the way of the world at this point. We have to do really bad things that we wouldn't normally do in civilized society just to survive. And that was kind of the whole point of this whole issue. Really good book. I guess I didn't rate G.I. Joe number one. I'd probably give it a 2.5. Walking Dead, I'd give a 4.
I would like to say that the first page of this particular issue of Walking Dead is the most depressing first page of any book I have ever read, comic or novel. I read the first page and I was just like, good God.
Yeah, just the two of them leaning against that car.
Yeah.
Yeah. The last issue was just freaking, I mean, some crazy happened in the issue because they're making their way to this town, and I can't remember where it is now, somewhere near Atlanta. And these guys catch them and they're going to do some very nasty things to Rick's son, and Rick just kind of goes crazy and kills him with his bare hands, you know, to protect his son. And it ended with Abraham saying, you know, did I tell you what happened to my family? And then that's where this issue starts. And yeah, it's really good. It just every month that is, as soon as that book comes out, it's the first book I always read. And it's every time I finish an issue, I'm just like, ooh, I've got to get the next issue. It drives me crazy.
You know what one of my least favorite things in the world is in comics right now? That All-Star Batman and Robin is on hiatus again.
I read about that. That kind of sucks.
That was terrible. That was my book of the year last year, even though it only had, like, what, 4 issues. It's that good. Why can't it come out more often?
Yeah, that's almost one you just got to kind of wait until it's finally done and then just read the trades. Because by the time the next issue comes out, I'll want to go back and read all of them again just to remember where we were at.
This is true.
Now, the only other book I read this week was Supergirl number 37. It's not the most current issue. The most current issue is issue 38, so I'm trying to catch up on that. This is a pretty good little issue, though, written by Where are the credits? Sterling Gates, penciler is Jamal Igel, inker is Keith Champagne, colorist is Nee Rufino. But this is, you know, it's all set on New Krypton. They're starting to delve into the mystery of who might Superwoman be. Superwoman has killed Agent Liberty. Supergirl's mom has sent Supergirl back to Earth to capture, I can't remember the dude's name that killed Supergirl's dad, some supervillain. Yeah, that's not what they called him. Reactron, I think, is what they called him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Other than Reactron. Okay.
And so Supergirl heads to Earth to go get him. And as she's entering Earth's atmosphere, Superwoman comes and grabs her and tells her not to go to Earth because Earth is not safe. And Supergirl's like, you know, whatever. I'm going to Earth. Ugh, you can't stop me. And so Supergirl or Superwoman kind of hits her with the old heat vision. She decks her a good one right in the jaw. She says, get out of my way and go back to New Krypton. I'm going to Metropolis. And Superwoman says, remember that I tried. And then cracks her in the jaw. And that's where this issue ends.
Steven, if you hate Supergirl so much, why are you
reading? I actually really enjoy it. I just like doing that voice for it. I'm Supergirl.
Raise your hand if you think you know who Supergirl
or Superwoman
is.
Superwoman?
Yeah,
I have no idea.
I think I know exactly who she is. I think it's Tomorrow Woman.
It's a good guess.
One line. One line made me think it was Tomorrow Woman. She exhibits all the Kryptonian superpowers, and in one part of the comics, when she's fighting Redicon or whatever his name is, he said, "You should fall. You're Kryptonian." She just kind of smirks and says, "Whoever said I was Kryptonian?" Well, that eliminates Kara. That eliminates Power Girl. That eliminates everybody on New Krypton. Tomorrow Woman, similar powers.
And she obviously has some kind of mean streak because she killed Agent Liberty.
Yes, she did.
And there's some of that story in here too with the new head of the I can never remember the names of these places. It's like the kind of like the new Special Crimes Unit. But that's not what they called it. Let me jump back there and see if I can find out what they called it here. He's this new dude. And he's talking to Lois. Metropolis Metacrimes Division. He says he investigates forms of crime where a metahuman is the victim. So he's investigating the murder of Agent Liberty. And apparently Agent Liberty, I'm not too familiar with this character, but apparently all his powers, and I'm saying that in air quotes, comes from his suit. And when he was killed, the guy says it. What's this dude's name anyway? Mike Henderson. He's telling Lois that it seems that in the event of his death, Agent Liberty's suit sends out a signal that overrides and corrupts electronics within a certain radius. And he takes Lois's phone, and he turns it on, and he shows it to her, and it just keeps saying, murder, 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 danger, SOS, Liberty in danger, murder, SOS. So they know that he was murdered, but that's about all they know at this point.
That sucks.
Yeah.
Can I touch on something real quick?
If you must.
5 second reviews, Birds of Prey, number 127. If you haven't been reading Birds of Prey, go ahead and skip it. It really doesn't set up Oracle at all and is kind of a disappointing end. Brave and the Bold, number 22, part 4 on the current arc. It was great. The art was wonderful. It's a satisfying conclusion to the storyline. If you've been getting it, certainly finish it. Justice League of America versus Shadow Thief. If you love the Shadow Cabinet and the Milestone Universe, get it. Otherwise, McDuffie's getting kind of tiresome. Supergirl, Steven just did. I've enjoyed it. I haven't decided whether or not I'm going to keep up the Superwoman storyline or not. I did get the Origins and Omens part, and I got the Faces of Evil part, so who knows. Superman, so, Batman.
So you, you did read issue 37?
Yeah.
When you read Supergirl, do you hear the voice in your head, I'm Supergirl?
No, I hear no. Christina Aguilera.
Okay.
Superman, Batman number 55, always enjoyable, especially with rags on the art. I enjoy this series, even though it's completely out of continuity. Tangent Superman's Reign, issue 12. This miniseries limps across the finish line, thankfully. I don't think I could have took another issue. Trinity. Oh, my God. Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman are finally in the book that bears their name. Dynamo 5, number 0. Satisfying. They're trying to get people back into the book, which I think is good because it's an interesting book. It's a nice, it's a good concept. I've read several issues of the regular series, so a dollar issue is always a welcome thing. And Dark Avengers number 2, Morgan Le Fay needs to find a new agent because she's in a book by Marvel and she's in a book by DC, and she's getting her butt handed to her in both books.
All right. So do you want to do some news? You got some news for us?
We could do news. I always want to say, let's talk some S.H.I.E.L.D. because of those annoying ads that used to run on FX about the special interviews that were on the S.H.I.E.L.D. just because I never watched the S.H.I.E.L.D. and had no interest in watching the S.H.I.E.L.D. You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you?
I know what the S.H.I.E.L.D. is, but we don't get FX, so.
Oh, okay.
So you want to do some news?
Let's do some news. God, look out for that plane! Ah!
I'm glad you ducked.
I'm glad I did too. I have long hair. That could have been very messy.
So I don't really have anything. I did see something just a minute ago. I don't know if you saw that Ivan Reis at some point will no longer be on Green Lantern after Blackest Night. Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I think I know what he's going to do.
What? Is it going to be something with Geoff Johns?
It is going to be something with Geoff Johns, and it's a title that has not been officially announced. What title do you know that Geoff Johns is moving to that has not officially been announced, that does not have an artist?
Flash?
Flash. That's my guess. That's my guess, is that Ivan Reis is going with Geoff Johns to Flash.
Fastest man in the universe.
Ethan Van Sciver, yeah, his art's gorgeous, but he's not fast enough for a monthly.
Yeah.
He's just not. That's part of why his art's so gorgeous, but that's my theory. If I'm wrong, I'm sorry. It's just a theory. If I'm right, you all bow down.
And they could do a lot worse. Ivan Reis is pretty dang awesome.
He is pretty awesome. His run on, I'd never heard of him before Green Lantern, and his work on Green Lantern has been great.
Well, he did some of the stuff in Infinite Crisis. A lot of the Earth 2 stuff was Ivan Reis.
Really? Yeah,
pretty sure.
I take it back.
But it didn't look, I mean, if it was him that I'm thinking of, it didn't look a lot like what he's doing on Green Lantern. It was he kind of made it look more
classic,
yeah, to make it fit the Earth 2 universe.
Cool. All right. Well, let's start some news, shall we? Okay, my number one piece of news this week for me, and for anybody who either owns an Xbox 360 or knows somebody who owns an Xbox 360,
ooh, I know,
or watches television,
ooh, I meet two of those categories.
Sweet. You've probably seen, heard of, downloaded, or played Grand Theft Auto 4: The Lost and Damned.
I hadn't heard of this.
What?
ever.
There's just some guy at work that keeps talking about it. He won't shut up about it.
I wonder who the heck that would be.
That might be Craig.
Grand Theft Auto Lost and Damned, the by far the most violent, the most mature, the most vulgar chapter in the series yet, has hit Xbox Live. I have played it. It is glorious. Oh my god. This game has it all, including full frontal male nudity.
You know, I think...
Which is not really something that I'm excited about.
I think we have a soundbite from a superstar celebrity about what he thinks of Grand Theft Auto 4. You want
to
hear it?
Let's go to the tape.
This is fantastic. Oh, this is terrific.
Very interesting.
I agree with you, good sir. And I know we have those fans who are going to be sad because Lost and Damned is not coming to the PS3 ever. Because Microsoft paid Rockstar an undisclosed sum of money to keep not only this, but the follow-up chapter exclusive to the 360 as one of their points of interest for the console. I know that the news about the Grand Theft Auto 4 exclusive episodes broke several years ago when the Xbox was just first launching, and that certainly helped me make my decision. We were talking about FX Networks a bit earlier. If anyone has seen the TV show Sons of Anarchy, you have a good idea of what the storyline is going to be like, only grimmer and darker. One of the more interesting things, stories that I've read about Lost and Damned so far, is that there's a parent group called Common Sense Media that reviewed Grand Theft Auto 4 Lost and Damned. And you always fear when one of these parent groups or one of these extremely conservative religious groups get a hold of one of these games, they're just going to try and crucify it and make every parent in the world terrified of this game. Well, Common Sense Media gave it a high score. The tagline of the review is "Full frontal male nudity shocks in the hefty expansion with mature themes." But they gave it a 4 out of 5. They said that if you're mature enough to play the game, that it's great, but that the game should be kept far, very far away from children. Someone with small children who actually took the time to play the game and appreciate it for what it is. Much like comic books, video games are always struggling to achieve to be recognized as art. So I was very impressed. G4 was very impressed. This review is being posted all over. So for parents of small children who actually want to read something more authentic, more correct, Common Sense Media has those kind of reviews out there for you. So that's an excellent change from the Jack Thompsons of the world, who believe that Grand Theft Auto is, of course, the source of all of our country's ills, like taxes and defaulting mortgages.
I like taxes.
You like taxes?
I like.
No, you like tax returns.
Oh, yeah, that's what I like.
Okay. Another story from the Thank God We Live in Kansas department. This is thank God that Stephen Michael and I was not this particular other state that I'm about to name. For fans of the show who live in this other state, we're sure your state is absolutely beautiful. But this week in Missouri, Stephen, do you just kind of clench up when something starts out that way?
No, not really.
It's okay.
It's a 7-year-old. It's your head, man, not mine.
A 7-year-old. It's your show, dude. A 7-year-old Elvis Presley fan named Walter Hoover was apparently so upset that his digital converter box did not work that he shot his TV. I'm going to repeat that because it bears repeating. He was upset that his digital converter box didn't work, so he shot his TV.
Dang, man, my digital converter box not working, man. Dang, man, what am I going to do? I better get this shotgun out here, man, shoot my TV. That'll fix everything. Kabang, dang, man, now my TV don't work. What am I going to do, man? What am I going to do?
That'll teach that television set. It's going to work.
That'll learn it.
The worst part is He was arrested and charged with unlawful discharge of a firearm.
As we say in the Midwest, that'll learn it.
As we say in Kansas, thank God I don't live in Missouri. Thank God I don't live in Missouri.
All of our
I'm getting crickets
all
here.
All of our Missouri listeners can post their complaints at justanotherfanboy@gmail.com.
To all of our Missouri listeners, I would like to mention, just for the fact that I am not a Jayhawks fan. And I saw the shellacking that the Tigers gave the Jayhawks. And oh, my God, I'm opening myself up for all sorts of hatred today. I'm just going to shut up. Speaking of TV, Stephen, would you like to talk more about TV?
I like TV.
I like TV, too. Apparently, Americans like TV as well. Because now, Americans watch more TV than ever. Yes, just a couple of years after video games and YouTube and the internet took away audiences from TV in record numbers, people were flocking back to the TV set. Watching the TV about 5.5 hours a day. About 5.5 hours a day. Stephen, how much TV do you have? Do you watch?
Well, see, man, I ain't be watching much TV lately because I got me this digital converter box and it wouldn't work, so I shot my TV.
And seeing Stephen, you live out in the bumpkiss country. You got a cop, but he's also at the gas station attendant. He don't have time.
We actually don't have a police force in this town. We have to depend on the county sheriff.
Oh, I thought you were going to say vigilante mafia.
No, that too. We just don't like to talk about it. Shh. Don't talk about it.
Okay. For anyone who thinks that I only revel in the successes of Microsoft, which, according to the forum post, is everybody, let me go ahead and report some down news from Microsoft. Microsoft, like a lot of major American companies, laid off quite a sizable portion of their employees. Well, it got worse for them. Microsoft has asked some recently laid off employees to return a portion of the severance checks that were paid to them when they separated from the company. The letter basically stated, in an inadvertent administrative error occurred that resulted in an overpayment in severance pay by Microsoft. We ask that you repay the overpayment and sincerely apologize for any inconvenience to you. Apparently, when the company was asked by reporters, did you really send this? Microsoft has confirmed that they did send this, but they did categorize the matter as a private one between Microsoft and its now ex-employees. They didn't state how much they overpaid or how many people were overpaid. This is a hard one. When you get to the economy and the state the economy is in, I know this is a comic book and entertainment podcast, but you get something like this, and that just sucks all the way around. There's absolutely nothing funny about that story, unfortunately.
Makes me want to shoot my TV.
And Stephen will find humor in anything. Of course, people all over the internet are trying to tell the ex-Microsoft employees to take heart. Don't pay them back. They're huge. They can afford it. Unfortunately, if they can really prove that there was an accounting error, they could probably also sue for that money. And that would make a nightmare situation even more unbearable for all involved. So hopefully that will resolve itself peacefully. My main thought would be that Microsoft, generally, in better times, is an excellent employer. And that anyone who were to get their money back would be considered for rehire. If you don't get the money back, that's one of the two biggest employers in the Seattle area. And that'd be locking yourself out of a huge employment opportunity later down the road. Okay, on to some happy news. Apparently, there's going to be a sequel to Superman Returns.
Yay.
Steven's thrilled. Craig is bemused. Because I like Batman better. Apparently, the sequel to the Superman movie will be... Are you ready for this? Superman Unleashed. They're going to ramp up the action.
Sounds like a WWF movie.
They're going to raise the stakes.
Ooh, yeah.
They're going to take the audiences to heights of action that no other movie can achieve.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to
snap into a Slim Jim. Yeah, brother. Lost and damned.
I have no idea what to make of this news. Great that there's a new Superman movie on the way, because DC's lagging far behind Marvel in the movies department, and it shows.
Hopefully, what that means is that when the new Superman movie comes out, he will not be going after Lex Luthor, but will instead be fighting giant robots or big monster aliens or something incredibly cool.
No word whether Steven's dream of an all-CGI Superman movie will be realized or not.
Oh, I hope so, because that, just the thought of that makes me want to sing.
Woo! Here's a little song for everybody out there.
Hey!
Hey!
Did you watch the Oscars last night?
I watched a little.
Neither did I. Steven, read your script.
No, I did not watch the Oscars last night. Not at all.
Neither did I. Apparently, Slumdog Millionaire won everything, which continues the Oscars trends to reward successful but small-budget films that really the majority of the populace doesn't see, and seemingly punish the blockbuster films. But none of that matters, because Heath Ledger won the Oscar for The Joker.
Yes, he did.
Which means umpteen million special edition versions of The Dark Knight on shiny, shiny plastic, on Blu-ray and DVD, flying into the stores over the course of the next 3 years. Hooray! Apparently, the Oscar telecast ratings were down. The Oscar telecast were extremely blasé. And Sean Penn, when you hand him an award, he cannot help but be overtly political. So, I'm kind of glad I didn't watch him.
Yeah, I watched some of it. I probably watched bits and pieces throughout the night, probably combined all together. I probably watched about an hour. Wasn't as fun as it used to be. They did this thing with the like best supporting actress and best actor category, best supporting actor, best actress, those four categories. They would bring out, like, for the best supporting actor, they brought out the like five previous winners, or however many nominees there were for that particular category. They'd bring out that many previous winners, and they'd each stand there and talk about how great, you know, an actor was that got nominated. And that's, and then they, I didn't enjoy that at all for some reason.
Why didn't they just show clips?
I don't know.
Okay, this is the saddest news that I've heard in a long time. For anybody who played video games during the Xbox, GameCube, and PS2 generation, there was a gem of a game that came out from Ubisoft. That gem of a game was called Beyond Good and Evil. It was made by the developer's French arm and produced by Ubisoft of Montreal. The game was gorgeous. The game was a work of art. The game starred a strong female protagonist who was not Lara Croft. Because Lara Croft offers nothing to female gamers. Lara Croft is made for male gamers. Jade, the hero of Beyond Good and Evil, was made to be universally appealing. She's a strong female lead that everyone could enjoy equally. Which made it that much sadder that such a great game was universally ignored at sales. How ignored was it? It was so ignored that if you live in French Canada, you can buy a package of string cheese and now get a free copy of Beyond Good and Evil.
Nice.
I wish I lived in Canada, except the game's probably in French, by judging from the packaging. But that's okay, because there will be a Beyond Good and Evil 2, and you will go out and buy it, because it's going to be excellent. In the meantime, if we have any Canadian listeners, get out there and buy a package of Saputo Cheeseheads, Lights, Swirls, Spirales, String Cheese. You want the 12 count that comes with free video game inside Beyond Good and Evil. The video game edition is on DVD and should play on your DVD-enabled PC. That's so sad.
Yeah. Craig, I think you need some cheering up.
Oh, God.
Oh, that wasn't it.
Woo!
Here's a little song for everybody out there. Here's a little song for Craig. People tried to take my soul. You know, people are always trying to take his soul away.
If you guys are wondering why there's so many sound effects tonight, it's because those sound effects where Michael would be saying something catty and cutting.
Those are to fill in the empty space where we have Michael scripted in.
But nothing will fill the empty space in our hearts.
No.
Except for perhaps our next story, which is the Watchmen director's cut may come to theaters. Apparently, according to Zack Snyder, the director's cut is going to be over 3 hours and 10 minutes long and will come out in July. The original edit is considerably more violent than the theatrical edit and sexier. Apparently, if the movie does well, the director's cut will get a theatrical release starting in Los Angeles and New York and perhaps moving on from then. There will be the Watchmen DVD in the fall that will include a crazy ultimate freaky edition, including Tales of the Black Freighter, Hollis Mason's death, more Dr. Manhattan moments on Mars, and dialogue-heavy scenes with the newsstand bonding Bernies, which apparently are going to be cut out of the movie, and I can kind of see that. A 12-issue-long graphic novel trying to be made into a major Hollywood movie, there's unfortunately a lot of content that's going to have to be eliminated.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay, because the movie's probably still going to rock. Because this is my second shot to see almost The Question in a movie this year, and the first one was terribly disheartening. I had somebody tugging on my sleeve for the second half of the movie, asking me if we could please just go home, because the spirit was terrible, and she wanted to leave, because the spirit is indeed terrible. Okay, we'll move. That's for you, Steve.
That's for the spirit.
Yes. Okay. Apparently, Linda Hamilton might return for Terminator Salvation. I know.
Whoa.
What do you think she's going to say to the director of photography? You're all walking in here, looking at the lights. Apologies for anybody who has not heard the Christian Bale rant yet. And if you haven't, what is wrong with you?
I just haven't gotten around to it. Get off my case.
Oh, my God. You haven't heard that yet?
No.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
I started to listen to it the other night, and then I just thought, I don't need to hear somebody whining. I can go to work for that.
Apparently, Linda Hamilton is going to come back and possibly do a voiceover for the, God, hopefully already completed Terminator 4. For the reboot of the Terminator franchise. So, and apparently will just be a voiceover. She's not going to actually film any scenes. So, we'll have to see if this one bears any fruit or not. If it does, it'll be cool and add some credibility to a film that, let's be honest, needs it. Yes, on one hand, they have Christian Bale. But on the other hand, it's being directed by someone named Mick G,
but he did, he did the Charlie's Angels movies, but he also did, We Are Marshall, which, of course, is not an action movie, but still, it was a pretty good movie.
Didn't see it.
It'll make you cry, Craig.
I'm sure it will, but I didn't see it.
Like a little girl. That's how much you'll cry.
I don't like crying.
Be a man. Have a good cry once in a while, Craig. We all need to cry once in a while in our lives. That's me crying because Michael's not here.
Well, this is me crying because I have news about Iron Man 2.
All right!
Apparently, Mickey Rourke will not be in Iron Man 2.
I didn't know he was gonna.
Yeah, he was either going to be Whiplash or Crimson Dynamo.
That's
but apparently,
right.
They looked at still photos of Mr. Rourke and decided that he was just too ugly.
But he would wear a mask.
You laughed! You can't get mad now!
That he would wear a mask.
Apparently, he's not going to be it.
Ah, well.
So, I wish I could get worked up. I wish I had something important to say about this, but I really don't. Crimson Dynamo and Whiplash are both weak, weak, weak villains.
Crimson Dynamo was pretty cool. Whiplash I could do without. You know, he was a guy with a whip.
And lots of chest hair.
Yeah, and some kind of hair lock coming out of the top of his, like a big ponytail.
It was green, wasn't it?
I don't know. The last time I saw him in a book was when I read the new hardcover edition of Demon in a Bottle.
Okay. Second piece of Iron Man 2 news. Apparently, Emily Blunt will not be playing Black Widow. Do you know who will?
Yes, I do.
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Johansson. Which apparently means that she and her husband, Ryan Reynolds, a.k.a. Deadpool, will be quite the little Marvel couple.
Cool.
I don't know about that one.
What's wrong with that one?
I think they could have found someone who actually had red hair somewhere.
Yeah, but, you know, they never do. Look at Spider-Man and Mary Jane Watson.
I try not to.
I can see avoiding Mary Jane Watson and Spider-Man, but Spider-Man was still good.
In the second one, Dr. Octopus talked to his arms.
I know, it was cool.
And they talked back?
I know, it was cool.
Not as cool as Dark Knight. Okay, more digital transition news. Apparently, digital transition changeover got delayed. Hear that guy in Missouri? You didn't even need to shoot your TV.
Oh, dang, man. Dang, shot my TV for nothing, dang, man.
Apparently, it's twofold. There's approximately 100,000 people in Cincinnati, Ohio, that would have lost a channel. Along with several other major metropolitan areas, groups of anywhere from 50 to 100,000 people would have lost one, maybe two channels until they got it fixed. Oh, darn. But the main reason is, even though the ads have been on TV every 5 minutes on every station for the past 8 months, people were still not aware. What do you mean there's going to be a digital transition? What are you talking about, boy? I'm going to shoot my TV. So apparently July is going to be the digital transition.
Thought it was June.
June. Yeah, that too. Whatever. All my TVs work with the digital transition. I don't care. Yeah. I'm ready.
We're ready to go. Let's get her done with so I don't have to keep seeing that stupid scrolling thing at the bottom of every station saying, "Are you ready for the digital transition?"
That's right. Bring on the apocalypse. I'm ready. I've got my snack pack, my MRE, and my combat helmet. Snack packs being most important.
I want a combat helmet.
I could have sworn I talked about this last week. Did I talk about Dead Rising 2 last week?
Yes, skip it.
I thought I did. I was going to say, new news came out about Dead Rising 2, zombies in a mall. It's awesome. It's a video game. It's not like the movie. It's a video game. It's awesome. Okay, a little bit of a racy story about someone here. We can't really give you too many details, but hopefully I'll tell you enough to make you look it up and laugh at him on your own. Kanye West. Wow. This guy's incredible. Did you know that according to Kanye West, if the Bible was written today, he would be a character? Yeah. It's because Kanye... Huh?
Really?
Yeah, it's because Kanye West is awesome and has a very large opinion of himself. Apparently, Kanye West also believes that our former president doesn't care about a particular portion of our populace. And apparently, when he was 12, he was enough of a genius to reprogram his copy of Mario on his Nintendo 8-bit entertainment system and called it Super Mario Brothers, the remix. And I can't even tell you the quote, but to say that he was a sick and disturbed little 12-year-old boy. If he could have actually reprogrammed a game, on his Nintendo Entertainment System, which would have been impossible.
Makes me think of that episode of the 70s show where Kelso and Red Foreman break open their whatever that game system was that only played Pong, and they reprogrammed it so the paddles were smaller to make Pong more interesting.
Among other quotes that Kanye said that I can actually repeat is, "I have like a nuclear power, like a superhero, like Cyclops when he puts his glasses on." Sure you do. You shave a freaking basketball shape in the back of your head. Shut up. Put this in the magazine. There's nothing more to be said about music. I'm the end-all, be-all of music. I left a part out because this is a family show. Sure you are. Whatever. You shave a basketball and do the back of your head. Shut up and go away. And my favorite, "Oh my God, I'm one of the greatest rappers in the world. I'll get on a track and completely annihilate that track. I'll eat it and rip it in half. I wouldn't have to think of it." Whatever, dude. Whatever. You know how many songs I've heard by this guy? 2. Guess how many I hated? 2. Guess how much I love rap? Enough to know I don't like Kanye West, and I do like other rappers. There's a lot more.
You sound angry, Craig. You sound angry.
I don't like Kanye West, Stephen. I don't like him. He's so dumb. He's so dumb. He hurts my brain. There's so much more. If you want to read more about Kanye West, and who wouldn't want to read more things about someone who would make them mad, you know, all these millionaires acting stupid and ignorant, go check out the latest issue of Details for the entire thing. You'll either laugh or be very angry. Either way, you will be crying. Stephen, are you excited about the possibility of a Johnny Quest movie?
Not really, no.
Not even if it has Dwayne Johnson as Race?
Not really, no.
With dyed white hair?
Not really, no.
What if it has Zac Efron from High School Musicals 1, 2, and 3 as Johnny Quest? Are you excited now?
No, not really.
Apparently it's going to happen anyway, regardless of Stephen's snarkiness.
Nobody asked me.
Did you show up to the meeting?
I didn't get the memo.
They had cake.
Did they have pie?
They did have pie. And they had ice cream for your cake or for your pie. Anybody who looked at the interweb at all last week knows that Facebook had a public relations nightmare. On Tuesday, Facebook said, "Yeah, anything you put on Facebook's kind of ours. And by kind of, we mean really. And by really, we mean we're going to own it. So by putting it on, you're agreeing to our license that we own all your stuff forever." It made a lot of people mad, including the hosts of a particular USJ, another AJ, and Boy Faye, who were thinking about putting up a website way on Facebook Faye. So it took Facebook about 24 hours to change their mind and realize that everybody was going to dump their Facebook accounts as fast as they humanly could. Which meant that Tom's from, crap, what's the name of that? MySpace, thank you. His heart went all to Twitter for about a day, thinking, "Oh my God, dude, MySpace is going to be relevant again. MySpace is going to be relevant again. I'm going to have money." So much didn't happen. Oh, well. I'm still not putting up a Facebook site because I don't trust them because they're crooks. I'm just saying. Stephen, what are your thoughts on Facebook?
Here's my thoughts on Facebook. It sounds to me like Facebook is a good way to reconnect with people that you used to know. Good way for people to find you and shoot you some emails and say, "Hey, man, remember me? We went to high school together. Let's hang out." And see, I don't want to be found. So, yeah. I don't want to be found. That's why I'm doing a podcast, yeah, I guess. I don't know.
you do a podcast under your own name because you don't want to be found.
That's right.
You didn't give it the town where you live, dude.
I didn't give that a lot of thought, did I?
No, not really. Your avatar looks like you and everything. You put your photo on the website. Man. Anyways, moving right along. On back to gaming. For anyone who has an Xbox 360, a Nintendo Wii, or a Sony PS3, and I think it's coming to PC too, anyone who was like me, who was cool and had a Sega Genesis when everybody else had a Nintendo Entertainment System, know that the Sega Genesis was the awesomest thing ever. Lost and damned! There's a new Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection, which has about 30, give or take 10, more give than take. I know it has at least 30 classic ROMs of Sega Genesis games, including all the Sonic games, all the Phantasy Star games, some arcade games, Shinobi 3, all the Streets of Rage. Oh my god, the list just keeps going. I could be here all night talking about this. The game is awesome. It's $30. It's going to be less than a dollar ROM. If you love classic gaming at all, you owe it to yourself to pick this up. If you have a video game console, of course. Okay, I already mentioned Grand Theft Auto 4, Lost and Damned, featuring the full frontal male nudity that came out in the earlier review by the parents group. A lot of people are upset because Grand Theft Auto didn't get an adults-only rating for the full frontal. And the reason for this is simple, but don't want to really get into it. I'm sure if you do any amount of research, you can figure it out. But more importantly, Rockstar was very open and honest with the fact that it was in the game. And it wasn't like the hot coffee incident from a few years ago where the code was in the game secretly, left in there by a disgruntled programmer, and it was not in the review copy. It wasn't that the hot copy content was that bad. It was that the hot copy content was hidden, and that's why they got popped.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Grand Theft Auto.
Lost and Damned!
I'm just saying. Okay, something that will be exciting to anybody who owns a cell phone. Universal cell phone chargers are coming, thank God.
Yay!
I don't know how many people have been asking this for how long, but the agreed-upon format? Miniature USBs. Now all we need to do is make mini USBs the standard power source for MP3 players and anything else that is tiny and rechargeable. This is such a good idea. It's obvious why this didn't happen, I don't know, 20 years ago or so. But as soon as this happens, and as soon as I get a cell phone that actually uses that, you have no idea how many chargers I'll be able to throw away.
Two?
I'll have a whole... No. Sadly,
three?
No. Sadly,
17?
No.
17?
Probably closer to 17, yes.
That is sad, Craig.
I'm sorry. Hey, guess what, Steven? What? Do you like things that are popular and that make money?
No, I am against things that are popular and make money.
Well, Steven, you apparently hate The Dark Knight, because The Dark Knight has passed $1 billion.
Really?
In worldwide ticket sales, it's passed $1 billion. And to that we say, thank you, Warner Brothers, for making such an awesome movie. Please make more. Please don't make more bad movies.
They're going to make some bad movies, Craig.
For those of you who are wondering what other movies have made $1 billion over the course of history, you might be surprised. Those are $1 billion worldwide, not domestic. Titanic, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, and the only other one to make $1 billion. Got a guess?
Mamma Mia.
I hate you, Steven. I hate you so very, very much. God.
Your brain is about to explode.
Steven, you hurt my brain on a near constant basis. The other movie that has made over $1 billion worldwide is Pirates of the Caribbean Dead Man's Chest, and that wasn't even that good of a flick. It wasn't. It was easily the weakest of the trilogy. Let's see here.
You got more?
I think I got one more.
You're killing me.
I think so.
You're killing me.
So, DC... Okay, enough. DC has announced a After Watchmen What's Next program. If you've been into a local comic book store, if you've noticed in a Borders or Hastings or Barnes & Noble or Walton Books or Beat Alton Booksellers or whatever bookstore you go into, they have lots of copies of Watchmen. Not only do they have lots of copies, they are selling lots of copies of Watchmen. This is it. This is what comic book stores have been waiting for. The comic book movie that actually delivers on the promise of huge sales. So DC is like, huh, well, what can we do to fulfill on this? Now, here's how they're going to do it. What DC Comics is going to do is, starting in the month of May, they're going to come out with a series of What's Next specials for a dollar. This is a great time to pull up some reader copies. Saga of the Swamp Thing, number 21, special edition, first Alan Moore issue. Transmetropolitan, a personal favorite, number 1, special edition. Planetary, number 1, special edition. Preacher, number 1, special edition. And, confusingly enough, Identity Crisis, number 1, special edition. Well, I only say confusing because that's more of a traditional book than the others are. But DC is going to try and cash in on this Watchmen thing more than they already have, which would be difficult because they've done a good job of cashing in so far. And I believe that is all the news for today.
You know, it's funny because today we were just, because we're getting ready to get into our group review of the week. And today you and I were talking about that because I hadn't read it yet as of this afternoon. And I jokingly said, I'll just read it while you're doing the news. And what did you say? You said I've only got like two stories. No.
So you read it while I was doing the news?
But you made me believe.
Well, good. I'm glad I kept you honest. See, wasn't that fun to be an active participant? Oh, my God. Okay, I'm looking at the third page, pencils only, of the Battle for the Cowl issue number 1 preview, and it shows Dick standing by the cowl and cape under glass. They're hinting so heavily at Dick Grayson that I'm terrified they're going to do something. I love Nightwing. Whoa! That's how Nightwing makes me feel. Whoa! And I'm not ashamed. He doesn't make me bone like that, though.
So you ready to do our next review?
Yeah, let's do our group review.
This is just another fanboy group review of the week. And
here comes another one.
Last week, you know, I had to choose the book for us to review, and nothing on the list was exciting me. And so I pulled out of my bottom Vigilante number 3.
Which was the best book ever. I cannot believe he fought the Celestials and then gained the Phoenix powers.
You were not.
And then died and gained the Spawn powers. And then died again and came back as Hellboy.
You were not able to get a copy of Vigilante number 3. Michael was not able to get a copy of Vigilante number 3, which doesn't really matter because Michael did not join us on this call, and I'm still very sad about that. I did not get a copy of Vigilante number 3.
I would like to say that nobody I know got a copy of Vigilante number 3 because I even called the other comic book store in town and they didn't get any.
Maybe they just didn't ship to the Midwest because they're out there. I have seen them. I have seen them.
They
so instead...
You know what? Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to check and see if anybody was selling them online.
No. But instead, we've picked something that was emailed to us in PDF form from Ape Entertainment. It's called Superhuman Resources. It's got art by Justin Bleep. The writer is Ken Marcus. Letters, I always say that wrong. Letters by Jacques Nodel. So I read issue 1. I think you read all 4 issues, correct?
I did read all 4 issues, but if you would like to just do 1 issue a week, we can certainly do that.
We'll just do issue number 1, and we'll see how it goes for the next few weeks.
We did get a lovely email from Ken, introducing himself to us. So that's why we're going to be talking about it.
Well, you know, and like I said, you know, there have been plenty of times that we've gotten emails from small press publishers, you know, with, hey, here's this book that I'm doing. You know, it'd be cool if you guys could talk about it on the show. Most of the emails look like we are just one on a mass, you know, email distribution list. This one here did sound very personal.
It did.
Because he did say that he listens to the show, which was kind of cool. Maybe he lied. I don't know. Never met the man, but he seems like a nice man, Mr. Ken, who sent us this.
I have to believe that he was telling me the truth.
I have to believe, too, because I believe in the good in people. But
Ken Marcus is a fine human being. You can use that as a quote for your next press junket.
But I always fall back on if they send me something and I read it and I don't like it, probably just not going to talk about it because that's just the way I am. This one, on the other hand, I read and enjoyed. This tells the story of a temp by the name of Tim who goes to work at... what did they call themselves? Super...
SIC.
SCI. SIC, or SCI. Super Crises International.
Oh, SCI. I apologize.
And he is going to work in their accounting division, apparently.
Not only that, he is a temp.
He's a temp. And it's a very funny book. I know people don't like... Some people out there don't like to use the term cartoony for the art, but it was very cartoony, I would say. But it fit the atmosphere of the book. And really the first issue is just all set up. Tim comes to SCI and just meets some of the various people that works there. He's taken on a tour of the place by a Mrs. Helen Nichols, who is like the head of HR or something. There's a really funny moment when he comes in and the receptionist is a Frankenstein-looking guy named Zombar, who apparently...
Zombar will suck your mammal brain through a straw. Hold, please.
He is apparently, as the woman says... The latest success story in our evil villain career relocation program. To which Zombar is answering the phone. How may Zombar direct your call, pathetic sack of man-flesh? But there's this really funny moment where he comes in and sits down with a bunch of superhero-looking people in the waiting room. And he's sitting next to this guy who looks like a ninja. And the ninja's like, so you're here for the stealthy assassin job posting too? Tim's like, no, I'm a temp accounts receivable. And the guy's like, you better take this, and tries to hand him a vial. It's like, what? He goes, it's the antidote for the spinal inhibitor I just poisoned you with. You're going to be paralyzed in 41 minutes. My bad. And so as the issue progresses, as Mrs. Nichols is taking him through how does she call it? The 10-cent tour on the way to his cube.
Yes.
He is, his body is failing him. But it was kind of funny. Like I said, it's all set up. She takes him around the place and shows him the various rooms, and he meets different superheroes and whatnot, and ends with him kind of passing out on the floor. She gives him the CSI welcome basket, or SCI welcome basket. And says there are some blueberry scones, shortbread cookies, a spinal inhibitor antidote, a delicious apple butter, all kinds of goodies in there. And he goes for the spinal inhibitor antidote and passes out before he could use it. And it's a nice little bit at the end with I don't know if we're going to consider him the supervillain of the story, because I haven't read further than this. But it was kind of a funny little moment. Funny little issue, I thought. I really enjoyed it. How about you?
Going into Superhuman Resources, I had no idea what to expect. I just decided I was going to go ahead and give it a shot and see what happened. I love the art style. I don't know if I'd call it as cartoony as I would describe it as kinetic. Everything always looks like it's in motion, and everything's very fluid. Everything always looks the same. The characters are instantly recognizable. And I just love the feel of the art on this book. It's great. I love the tagline on the front cover. You think you work with a bunch of freaks? You have no idea. It's a perfect introduction to this book. This book immediately reminds me of popular media that I've seen before set in an office environment. If you've ever seen Dead Like Me, or you've ever seen Office Space, you have a good idea of the sense of humor that you're going to expect from this book. And then the book also throws in the classic superhero elements, and a lot of them are genre stereotypes, but they're done in a fresh and interesting manner. I mean, you look through the issues, you see stand-ins for Thor, you see stand-ins for the kid in the brain with in the glass dome from The Tick. All the character designs are wonderfully vibrant, and they're drawn in a minimalist style, but they still look great. I think the writing is very witty and very smart on this book. I do think that overall it's written for a slightly more mature audience, yes. Belying its cartoony style. But that is no way to say that this book is should be considered inappropriate. I found the humor to be extremely funny. Like, on one of the pages, they walk by a team-building exercise while he's going through his new hire paperwork, such as W-2s, emergency contact forms, and he sees these superheroes destroying each other in a conference room in front of a sign that says, "There is no I in team." Who hasn't seen that in their office?
Yeah, there was a lot of different little, little things found throughout the issue that, you know, very much reminded me, because you and I have both worked in office environments for quite a while now. Certain stuff like the sign that said "There is no I in team." I really enjoyed the character of Ironclad, who is complaining because he had gone into the future to do battle with somebody, and while he was there, he checked up on their 401k, and apparently the performance of the 401k did not work out as well as they thought it would so far in the future. He goes to the copying machine to make copies to send to her, and the copy machine's not working. And of course there's the nod to Office Space, where the copy machine is saying paper jam, spooling gate. What the hell is that? But then they show the readout again, and it says achieving sentence in 4, 3, 2, 1, must annihilate all life, then collate.
Yeah, really, absolutely.
Really enjoyed that. There was a one sign that now I can't remember where it's at. T.O. There was one little sign on the side of one somebody's cubicle. Teamwork and dedication. Finish the race. You know, little stuff like that that you always see around cubicle office environments, because there are different office environments. This and the one we work in is very cubicle-like, and that's what this is to a certain extent.
Yeah, the attention to detail on this book is incredible. I don't know if it's the artist doing adding those touches or if it's Ken doing the writing adding those touches, but it works incredibly. I think of superhuman resources, when you look at it at its most basic level, it's like Office Space meets Men in Black. That's the vibe I get from it.
I could get behind that.
The only thing that I saw in this first issue that I disagree with, and even in disagreeing with it, I found something in the panel that I totally agreed with. It shows a group of younger superheroes supposedly working out, but they're actually all dining on McGriddles.
Yeah.
Now, I don't like McGriddles. McGriddles make me feel irpy. And as I read this panel, there's this giant purple guy in a bug suit, looks kind of like Ambush Bug, saying, I don't feel so good. Okay. And that's how I feel every time I eat a McGriddles.
I gotta send you this now, because you just keep talking. I'm going to send you this thing.
Okay. But just everything about this book I thought was great. I love the Odin character who gets caught looking at internet
naughty
girly pictures.
Naughty stuff.
Yeah.
I think it was Zeus.
Yeah.
And he's,
bah, 'tis nothing, woman, 'tis nothing. Thine therapist says 'tis a cry for help. And I would just like to state for the record, trying to find her name. Oh, what is her name? The orange chick is hot.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
What is her name? Whatever, she's hot. There's even your little Astounding Wolfman / Werewolf by Night character in here.
Yeah.
Oh, and the most important thing about any office environment is covered in this book. So it is real. The creepy-ass coworker who sits directly across from you.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has that person.
Yeah. And I think that's you in our office environment.
I'm not bald.
Burn. And then, of course, when he meets Bog.
I love Bog.
The slimy guy.
I love Bog. I want a Bog action figure now.
She kind of leaves him there alone with Bog, and Bog's like, you say something? No. I heard you say something. I didn't. Sure? Pretty sure. Then there's the panel where they're just staring at each other. Then the next panel, want to buy some weed?
See, I wasn't sure if you wanted to say that because of the family nature of the show, dude.
Yeah. Weed is bad, okay?
Okay. I liked it.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that I loved it. This was really good. Yeah, I think if your local comic store gets any books from Ape, I would say take a look at it. I don't think you'll be disappointed. I think you'll really, really like it. And if they don't get any books from Ape, have them see about ordering it, because it's really enjoyable. And it's like we were talking about just last week. There's just not enough truly, truly fun comic books out there.
Yeah.
Especially from the big publishers. So someone's trying to be fun, they're trying to be witty in a very creative way. I think this deserves to be supported.
Okay, I'm going to pause for just a second. I think my son has woken up. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right, I'm back.
Were you recording that whole time?
No, but we are going to have to go ahead and wrap up the show.
Okay.
Simon has woken up with a little bit of a tummy ache.
Ooh.
So we're going to get him back into bed. So we'll talk some more superhuman resources next week. I can tell you that there is a website out there called superhumanresourcescomic.com. If you want to go check out the book, some stuff about the book. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And yeah, just another fanboy at gmail.com, all that good stuff. Links Broadcasting Production.
Hooray! Right.
So until next week, I'm Steven.
I'm missing Michael.
Me too. I'm just another fanboy.
Lost and damned!
Take care of your teeth.
Woohoo! Ooh,
I didn't play the little music here. So yeah, take care of your teeth.